Attention HR professionals. Are you tired of dealing with poor performance from your managers? Are you sick of having managers run to you for every single little problem? Would you like to build the confidence and competence of your management team? If so, then contact Boss Builders. At Boss Builders, we specialize in building up the skills and confidence of your organization's managers. We do this through our popular Driving Results on-site training programs, our signature program, the Video-Driven Boss Builder Academy, and we even license our course materials so you and your internal training staff can get those managers confident and competent. For more information on how we can help you improve the performance of your organization's managers, contact us today at www.thebossbuilders.com or at 931-221-2988. Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
Has the convenience of technology inoculated us from reality? Do androids dream of electric sheep? I pray the code my soul to keep. Does your universe live within 4G or megapixel infinity? Which memory lies within, the one that was or the one that's been? Or how much gig, how much RAM? Which reality is true? Cyber me or cyber you? Cyber bully, cyber crime, cyber hate, cyber time? Cyber boxer or cyber brief? Who is the real identity thief? Cyber pleasure, cyber pain, hours spent glaring into the screen, choosing an alternate username, status updates and trending tweets, fill your mind and rob your sleep. Clever hashtags and Instagram will shape your image and gain more friends. Is the you you've shaped in cyberspace the same you I'd see face to face? We hide behind our computer screens and criticize with brutal ease. Virtual reality is buying souls of men, you see, and robbing the ability to dream real dreams. I want to conquer something real that I can grab, that I can feel. I want to touch life and hold on tight. I want to unblock true friends and like real sights. I want conversation face to face in real world time in a real world place. And that's a poem named Cyber Real by Kelly Crenshaw. And I think it's a great way to usher in the latest episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. You know, as an HR professional, I'm sure you're slammed at work with anything that is computer related, but then you go home, you listen to stuff, you watch things. Basically, we are connected all the time. Fortunately, our guest today has got a solution for you. Our guest today is Miko Whitlock. He is the founder of a great company. It's really funny. In fact, I'm not going to tell you the company. You're going to hear it in the podcast. It makes no sense initially, but after you listen, you're going to love it. Miko's a great guy. He's got some great things to share. The topic is called Finding Balance in a Distracted World. And I'm sure that's the world you're in. I know I'm in it too. So let's quit talking about Miko. Let's talk to him. Let's meet our special guest, Miko Whitlock. Miko Whitlock, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am too. The topic today is something that I think is going to be important for every one of our listeners, and that is finding work-life balance in a distracted world. And I know you've got some techniques that are going to really help us out with that because most of us live in that distracted world. Mm-hmm. So before we get started, tell us about yourself. Tell us how you got started with all this.
Sure. So I am Miko Marco Whitlock. I'm the founder of a company called Mindful Techie. And I started that company about 3 years ago now. I have a background in communications and technology, specifically focused on the nonprofit and government sector. And one of the things that I noticed in doing that work is that folks are really deeply passionate about the work they're doing and about making a difference and making a change in the world. But oftentimes, folks are doing that to the detriment of their own personal well-being, right? To the detriment of what's happening in terms of their personal life, with their family, with their friends, with their health, et cetera. And I found that in my last role, where I was communications director for this international organization focused on ending HIV and hepatitis, you know, that's a really large and weighty and really sort of serious issue to be dealing with. And I found that I reached a point where I had essentially left the personal development work and the spiritual work that I was doing at home. And I felt like I had to be a different person at work. And that was beginning to catch up with me. That was no longer sustainable. So I had to find a way to figure out how I can be what I would describe as my whole integrated self at work while I'm also making a difference. And I reached a point where, you know, I was stressed out. I was depressed. I had gained a ton of weight. And I realized that I could literally drop dead and that the emails would continue rolling in, the projects will continue to move forward, and that there had to be a more sustainable way. There had to be a better way to do this. And that was really the start of me really having the courage to have this conversation about what I was doing in terms of personal and spiritual development outside of work, having that conversation with my team, giving them permission to have us have those discussions during our team meetings. I started to talk about this at conferences, and that really was the starting point. I realized from the feedback from those conferences and sort of being vulnerable and sharing my journey that there was a really need, there was a real need and desire out there, and that this really fed my soul. And so I realized that I could help people and do this in a full-time capacity and make it sustainable. So that was really the start of my journey into this, the work that I do now.
Well, when you mentioned you talked to your team about this, how did they react to having a boss that was telling them it's okay not to be connected? Was that the message you were giving them?
Yeah. So the message was really to let people know that it's okay for you to, you can be dedicated to your work, but you can also have a life outside of work. You can also turn off work and that not be a bad thing, and that you're not going to be seen as a slacker. So that was one aspect of what I was trying to get across to folks. The other aspect of it was that it's okay for you to reflect on, you know, in the chaos of the work that we do, you know, what it is that you need in order to get back to center when you're off center, right? So is that meditation? Is that journaling? Is that cooking? Is that photography? Is that taking a dance class or yoga or whatever it is? Giving people permission to do that. And what I actually found is that it made us a stronger team, because at the core, what I was asking people to do was I was giving people permission to be vulnerable and to bring a part of themselves that perhaps folks traditionally wall off in a professional environment. And it improved our connectedness and improved our effectiveness as a team, because people, we connected more than just at a superficial sort of professional at work level, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So if you, could you share like the makeup of your team? Were they scientific folks? Were they technology folks? What kind of people were you leading at the time?
Yeah. So these are communication technology folks. So I led the communications team at this particular organization. You know, for the most part, you know, younger. So, you know, probably, you know, 20s and 30s is sort of the, in terms of age range for folks that were on this team. Folks that are really ambitious, care really, really, really deeply about the mission that they were focused on. Folks who are, you know, really super smart and dedicated, and would go like an Energizer bunny, you know, if you needed them to, because that's just how good they were at their work and how dedicated and passionate they were.
Wow, well, that's impressive that they were able to really relate to that, and they'd actually tune into a message like that, which kind of says it's okay not to have to run yourself into the ground. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was a risk, and I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but it actually turned out to be one of the best decisions that I made during that time. I'm working with folks there.
Well, that's great, because, you know, a lot of the folks listening to this podcast are managers themselves. And boy, if they can hear that this actually happened and it was successful, it gives them permission to try it. So you're kind of groundbreaking in that. That's really impressive. So let's talk about your move then. You were in this technology world and now you're doing something completely different. Was it just that self-awareness moment, or was there something else that inspired the move to what you do today?
I had always been, you know, I guess even from a really young age, we're looking for how can I serve in a deeper way? How can I serve in the way that's aligned with what I would describe as sort of a deeper calling, a deeper purpose? And I see all of the professional experiences that I've had as sort of steps along that path. And so in my last sort of role working for an organization prior to doing this work, I really reached a point where I recognized that it became crystal clear to me that this idea of integrating the whole self and having that be a part of the work that I'm doing on a full-time basis became really important for me. And I remember one talk that I gave at a technology conference where I talked about the experience that I had of being on the brink of burnout at my particular organization. I talked about what it was like to be a communications director. And not only are you managing all the tools that you need in order to do your work, but as a communications director, you're also, if you're doing a good job, you're also tasked with being on a cutting edge, right? And all of that sort of increasingly complex ways in which we're sort of managing work, change the expectations around, availability, for example, how responsive and how rapid people are responding to, crises or projects that come up. I gave that talk, and I talked about where I ended up in terms of this place of being integrated, this place of having a life outside of the work, and that actually being part of the work, right? Sort of being whole and integrated. And the response to that was overwhelming, so much so that when I go back to that conference, people still remember me for that talk. And that was one of the turning points for me where I realized, okay, that this spoke to me in the way that my previous, in a way that I felt like I was ready to go to the next level in terms of how I was contributing to the mission, and also how I was contributing to pouring into the folks that I was working with. And that sort of set me up for the shift to do the work that I'm doing right now full time.
Well, let's talk about that work. So your company, and this is a really interesting company name, it is Mindful Techie. That's like jumbo shrimp, right? Those words don't really even belong in the same stratosphere. And yet you've blended it, because everything you've told me at this point suggests that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
So when people work with you, when they see you at a conference and they want to work with your company, what is some of the work that you're actually doing with people?
So I do speaking and training and coaching in three areas primarily. So I work with folks around issues related to work-life balance and burnout. Work with folks around technology distraction, particularly workplace technology distraction. And I work with folks on getting clarity about personal mission and vision. And so those are the three areas in which I work with folks. And so I do a lot of speaking in person at conferences. Organizations bring me in to do trainings for groups. I also do coaching one-on-one in group. A lot of that is facilitated online. And then I also have online courses. So, for example, I'm doing a series of online courses for a technology association focused on work-life balance and technology distraction. So those are the sort of the topics that I focus on. And the mindful piece comes in really because all of the work that I do is grounded in a mindfulness-based or an intentional approach to the work that we're doing, right? And so this is not about, particularly when it comes to the technology, I'm not saying to be a Luddite and to, move to some, remote place and never be connected to technology ever again. What I'm saying is let's take a step back into be more intentional and ask ourselves the question, is the way in which we're using technology, is the way in which we're showing up for work, is that actually adding value to our life? And is it actually adding value to the life of the others that we're serving or that we're connected with?
Well, yeah, it's really powerful. I blogged on this a couple of weeks ago. I was at the airport and I was just looking around and it's just that I think everybody's eyes are glued to the screen. And I kind of made the analogy of someone was going to come down from outer space they would assume that humans are energized by this little rectangular thing. And as long as you stare at it, right, you'll be able to run. So it's become a big part of our life. And I want to talk about some tips on dealing with that. But I want to go back to something you said earlier, and that is work-life balance. This is something that I know a lot of folks struggle with, especially if you are either a manager or an HR professional. Work and life just seem to blend together. So what are some suggestions you might have for somebody that's got that problem right now? There's no work-life balance at all. It's one work-life conglomeration.
Yeah. So and I think that's actually the starting point, right? So raising your awareness of the fact that we get one life, right? So if you don't have a work life and a personal life, you have one whole life, right? And it's all integrated. And that means that when it comes to being able to show up in a sustained way and provide value over time, the starting point for any of the work that I do with folks related to work-life balance is helping people to get clear about what I call, you know, your personal mission in life. When I do training with groups, one of the first questions I ask people when we talk about this topic of work-life balance, I say, by show of hands, how many folks in here, if I were to ask you, could tell me what the mission is of your organization, right? Maybe not verbatim, but you can give me your 30-second elevator pitch. And then I ask the question, how many of you could actually tell me your personal mission in life? You know, then the hands sort of go down, and maybe I'll have a few hands if I'm lucky, depending on the group. And so what does this mean? This means that we are living in a space and time where we are suffering from what I describe as IDD. Many of us have heard of ADD or ADHD, but IDD is what I would describe as intention deficit disorder. Intention with an I, deficit disorder, which means that we are moving through life oftentimes, going back to the example that you mentioned in the airport, people glued to their phones, where we lack clarity about why it is that we're showing up for our life, for our work, from moment to moment, right? And so our lives are being driven by externalities that are essentially pushing us. And so we move through life essentially, in many cases, on autopilot without any awareness of, is this aligned with my mission? Do I know my mission? And are these priorities or these things that I'm working on, is what I'm engaged in at this particular moment? Is this relationship? Are these things actually serving me? Or am I just sort of going through the motions, right? Am I just being busy, right? Am I just going through, you know, essentially suffering from intention deficit disorder? So the first step really is to take some time to really pause and to reflect and to recognize that it's all integrated, right? So it's really about moving from work-life balance to work-life integration. And then asking yourself that question really is, what's my personal mission in life, right? And one of the questions you can get to get to that is, you know, how can I be of service, or how do I want to be of service both at work and also in my personal life? How do I want to be of service as a mother, father, partner, friend? How do I want to be of service as, you know, a manager, a supervisor, a CEO? That's perhaps one of the most important questions that you could ask yourself that will really set the foundation for how we can reshape this issue, this challenge around work-life balance.
You know, that's really interesting. And I'm kind of thinking about your audience when you were working in the corporate world, where you had a lot of people that were younger, and maybe for a lot of them, they're not thinking that far ahead. But for me personally, in my mid-50s, my best days are behind me now. And I think those are the questions people my age start asking, is like, what did I accomplish? And if you wait until now, it's kind of going to be too late, because there's not a whole lot of time to turn it around. So really good advice. If you're listening to this, that I love that. Your IDD, that's a new one. I really like that. Was intention deficit disorder, right?
Yes. Yes.
So that sets us like on a compass. So we know where north is. We got to figure out where that is. So what about tips? How do we deal with the stress that comes from technology, that urge to grab the phone, that urge to log on, even when we're supposed to be home? Is there any other strategies you can offer us to deal with that? Because that's not going anyplace.
Yeah. And so, I think to that particular point, it's about recognizing that we're not saying stop using technology. What we're saying is to just be intentional about how you're actually using the technology. And one of the ways that we can, so there are a few things that I would say. The first is going back to this conversation about intention deficit disorder. One of the first things we can do is set an intention, right? And so for many of us, you know, particularly if we have a challenge with our technology, you know, we're attached to our phones or to Alexa, to our TV, you know, when we wake up first thing in the morning or last thing when we go to bed at night, right? And so one of the more important things we can do is first thing in the morning is to actually set your intention or to answer the question, what will make today successful? Before you grab your phone, before you're checking the news, before you're doing all those things. And then asking yourself, what are the priorities that are actually aligned with that? If you're able to answer those questions, then you're setting yourself up to really reflect when you're grabbing that phone, when you're checking social media, when you're looking at the news, to really ask yourself, is this in this moment serving the intention and the priorities that I actually set? So in a more practical way, what does that actually look like when we're actually interacting with technology? Well, there are a few things that we can do. One of the things that I recommend as a starting point for folks that are just trying to find a place to start is to turn off the notifications for things that I would describe that aren't mission critical. What do I mean by that? Well, for many of the devices that we have, like the smartphones and the tablets, a lot of the applications prompt you to set what are called push notifications, which means that every time there is an update, there's a comment, there's a new thing or whatever it is, you get a ping, right? So a notification on your screen or a sound. And that constant pinging throughout the day leaves you in a constant state of distraction, which makes it difficult for you to actually be fully present and productive for the other parts of your life, right? So turning off the notifications for things that aren't mission critical. And so what does that mean? If the CNN breaking news alerts aren't mission critical, you can turn those off. If the Facebook notifications aren't mission critical, you can turn those off. And how you know what's mission critical is going back to what I was talking about earlier about setting those intentions and making those priorities, right? So if Facebook and CNN, for example, if those things aren't aligned with your intention and your priorities, then that's an indication that those things aren't going to be mission critical when it comes to your technology. One more simple thing that we can do, which is to really get clear about what I would describe as your rules of engagement. Many of us go, from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, we're just going on autopilot, as I mentioned before. And one of the most important things we can do is to really set our rules of engagement, particularly in the workplace. You can do this for your team, and you can also do this for your individual self. And what does that mean? That means you can lower the anxiety level about having to always be on by proactively letting people know how and when to contact you, right? So letting people know that, you know, you're generally going to be available during working hours, let's say between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. And that if people reach out to you via email, you know, this is what they can expect in terms of how soon they can respond. So for me, what does this actually look like? It looks like when I work with clients, I let people know that if you send me an email, I assume that it's not urgent. If it is urgent, I give you permission to call or text me. And what that does is it means that I don't have to be attached to my email 24/7. Because I know that I've given folks permission that if it's truly urgent and you need me right away, you need a response right away, that here are the other ways that you can reach me. And if it's an email, I let people know, like, you can expect a response within 24 to 48 hours unless I'm on vacation, in which case there's an out-of-office reply that talks about how to get what you need if I'm not available. So there are simple things like this that we can do that can really lower our anxiety level and really change how we're interacting with technology in a way that it actually serves us as opposed to us serving it.
And now we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors.
Hey, boss builders. Feeling a little stressed? Want to become more mindful? Need more life mastery tools to fuel your life? Check out the Master Your Mind, Business, and Life podcast with Lauren Smith. This podcast will help you push past boundaries, shift your mindset, implement profitable strategies, and begin living with intention. Master Your Mind, Business, and Life is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other popular podcast apps. Tune in and turn it up.
Sounds like you're just being a little bit assertive too. Here's what I can do for you. And I think a lot of people think, well, I can't tell my boss that. Well, yeah, you can. All right. I was in the military 15 years and there you are on call 24/7. You answer if somebody calls and there's no excuse. You just got to do it. That does not exist outside of that world. And if you think it does, you haven't confronted your boss just yet. So I love that, Miko, because what it does is it gives us permission to not be run by the technology. And more importantly, not be run by the organization that pays us our salary. It's giving the 40 or 50 or 60 hours, whatever we contracted for, in exchange for the money we get. I really like that. So if you're listening and say, that's not going to work for me, you haven't tried it yet. And if you have tried it, you probably didn't go about it the right way. And we're talking to a guy that balances tech and mindfulness. So I think he knows what he's talking about here, right?
Yes. Yeah. I would add one more thing to that, that when it comes to trying it out and, you know, getting buy-in, it's to start from the place of recognizing that, you know, your boss, so your company is made up of people, right? And your boss, you know, he or she has a family just like you. He or she doesn't want to work 24/7. And so chances are, if they're a good boss, they don't have the expectation that you're going to be on 24/7 either, right? And so they're likely going to be open to that conversation because they want to have the same type of, likely, the same type of balance in their life, right? And so this is really a conversation, and really it's a starting point. If you're afraid to have this conversation for you individually, the way you could broach it and bring it up, one strategy I would suggest is to say, can we talk about this as a team? Can we talk about as a team what are going to be our hours of operation? What's going to be the response time for different tools and platforms? What's going to be the protocol for when people are not available? How are we going to address urgent issues? Have that conversation as a team and then work backwards if you're afraid to have that conversation initially about just what you need.
Yeah, I love that advice. All right, so let's think about this. We've talked about tech. We've talked about balance. We've talked about your getting up and setting an intention. I keep saying attention and intention. But aside from work, we also live in a world that has a lot of overwhelming stresses. All we've got to do is, like you said, the CNN app. Very rarely are you going to see the CNN app pop up with something that's positive. So dealing with all of the stress of work and what's going on in the world, any advice you can share with us?
Yeah, so there are two things I'm going to share. So I'm going to share some tools, practical tools you can use in terms of following what's happening in the world in a way that's not stressful or that reduces your stress. But the first part of this I want to answer by acknowledging that there's so many things that are going on in the world. And I think that we're all called to serve or contribute in a way that actually alleviates suffering, right? And so many of us are attached to sort of following what's happening in the world because I think we're hardwired to be sensitive to other people's suffering and to actually want to do something about that. And I think that's actually a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. But if we are continuously engaged in that way, we can be paralyzed and not actually get anything done. And so one of the things I encourage people to do, going back to this idea of getting clear about personal mission in life and really asking yourself the question about how have I been called to be of service or how do I want to be of service in my life across my personal and my professional life? Really getting grounded and centered in that and asking yourself when you're confronted with the suffering that's happening in the world, how is the way that I want to serve or I've been asked to serve, aligned with ways in which I can in small doses to actually make a difference, right? In some cases, the work that we do in terms of personal mission, for example, you know, being a good parent, for example, I think that is a laudable personal mission if that's what people choose, right? And that might not necessarily have a direct impact on something that's happening in the world, but if you're dedicated to being the best parent that you can be, so that your children grow up to be the kind of people that go out and do their part to make the world better. It sounds cheesy, but you actually are making a difference in that way. And that one step at a time, you're making that difference. And it helps to lower your anxiety level. And it also helps you to understand, again, when you're grounded in that personal mission piece, that you are doing your part. Even if it's not directly related to what you might be seeing, you're doing your part because we all have a part to play. And if we're all doing our parts, then collectively we are making that difference in terms of the long-term change we want to see.
Oh, I think that's great. It puts it in great perspective, especially when you're doing a podcast and a train comes roaring by, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's your technology right there, isn't it?
Yes. And so in terms of the practical tools, one of the things I recommend for folks is, you know, if you're one of those folks that wants to stay in the know and understand what's going on in the world, what I encourage people to do is to actually take some time to think about what you consider to be credible and enriching news sources, and to use a tool like Feedly or Pocket. You know, these are apps that you can use for your browser or for your tablet or for your phone that allows you to say that, you know what, these three news sources or these three blogs or whatever it is, these are blogs that I actually trust, right? They give me a form of information, but it also feeds me, it's nourishing to me. And I don't have to go hunting through social media or through a search engine to try to find what's happening. I have this curated source of information through these apps. And that is also a way that you can sort of really narrow your focus so that you don't end up during the day, for many folks, you have all these tabs open and you sort of go in this rabbit hole of sort of story after story. And you look up and you're wondering like, okay, why haven't I gotten anything done? So one of the ways that you can curb that is by, again, being intentional about curating that experience and using an app like Feely or Pocket that actually helps you to narrow your focus, keep an idea, keep your pulse on what's happening in the world, but then, you know, not sort of, you know, taking up all your attention, trying to, you know, be involved in every single thing to the point where you're essentially, you're not able to get anything done.
So technology can be a big distraction, but the technology itself lends itself to helping us manage it better by using those kind of aggregators or whatever you're talking about, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. So it's again, it's not about not using the technology. It's about how can we use it mindfully or how can we use it intentionally in ways that actually adds value to our life and to the life of others. And the way that we understand what that value is again, by taking time to get clear about the life mission, and then, you know, breaking it down on a practical level on the day-to-day, getting clear about, you know, your intention and the priorities that are actually aligned with helping you to move that intention forward.
So it all begins with that first few moments of the morning where we actually sort of calibrate ourselves and go out and attack the day.
Yes.
Well, Mikko, you spend your time helping other people sort this stuff out. And one thing my uncle told me years ago when I started my business, he didn't really ask me. He just said, you know, who motivates the motivator? And I didn't know what he meant, but he meant that at some point, you know, you need to be fed. So how do you feed yourself? What are some of the resources you look at? What are some podcasts that you listen to, blogs? How do you feed yourself?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. So in terms of the podcast and the blog, so one of my favorite podcasts is a podcast called Thriving Mindfully by a woman named Ananda Leek. And so for folks, can go to anandaleek.com or they can search SoundCloud to find Thriving Mindfully. But it's really a podcast that talks about how we can use mindfulness as a tool to thrive in all areas of our life. And so there is, you know, there are practices in terms of mindfulness that she walks through. But then there's also just like real discussion about, you know, failure and other things and just being vulnerable and talking about and making space for people to have those kinds of discussions. So I really appreciate that podcast. And then in terms of blogs, one of the things that I really like is a blog by a woman named Beth Cantor. She's a trainer and a technologist, primarily in a nonprofit community. And she writes a lot about the intersection of work-life balance and burnout and technology, really from the perspective of folks who are working for nonprofit organizations that are sort of dedicated specifically to a mission of changing the world for the better. And I'm really energized by that. And it's one of the ways that I sort of keep a pulse on what the challenges are people are facing when it comes to these particular issues and some of the things that people are doing even for a small organization that might not have many resources, but how people are being innovative in addressing those issues. The last thing, though, you asked about podcasts and blogs, but you also asked, like, you know, how I feed myself, how I nourish myself. And I think that's a really deep question. And I would just, to briefly maybe respond to that, one of the things that is, I think, really critical for me as in terms of tool is just really having a really solid morning routine, having a really solid way that I start my day. And there are three things that I'll highlight that are part of that. So, you know, prayer and meditation are the cornerstone of that practice for me. And then I have a planner that I use to actually map out my day, right? So I talked earlier about setting your intention and setting your priorities. I have a daily planner that I use to map out my day. This is something that I do for the most part on a daily basis, where before I start my day, before I engage with any form of media or device or engaging with any type of client work, I take some time to be still, to be silent, and to really reflect on, okay, what am I grateful for today? What's my intention? In other words, what's going to make today successful? And what are the to-do list items that I need to prioritize in order to actually make that happen, right? So those are the things that are really foundational in terms of what feeds me, what energizes me, and what really sets me up for daily success.
And most of us, it's coffee, donuts, and the morning news. So yeah, I guess that's why you're in a much healthier place than most of us, right?
Well, the good news is that, you know, we can all, you know, make this transition. And I do want to say to this point, though, I think it's not so much that I'm in a healthier place, but although I appreciate that compliment, it's more so that when we are in this place, life is going to happen. We're going to have our ups and downs, right? You know, there are going to be some days that are tougher than others. But when we are grounded in a sense of our higher calling, when we're grounded in our intention for what it is we're aiming for in terms of success, we have a tool to help us to get back on center when the distractions pop up, right? The distractions, what's interesting about this is, you know, distraction is a natural part of the human experience. And so I want people to understand that if you're distracted or that if you're getting off task, that's a natural thing. It's how we survive to this point, right? That we had to be constantly scanning our environment for new and different to really gauge, okay, is this a threat or is this something that's going to actually help me or add value to me? Is this food or is this something else? And so the issue is not so much that we're distracted or that we're getting off track or that we're not sort of having a perfect day every day. But the question is, do we have the tools to get back on track when we actually have the awareness that we're not going exactly where we want to go? And I think that's the bigger point that I want people to come away with, that not that it has to be perfect, but that you rather have the tools to use to constantly come back to center.
Well, on the topic of tools, can we talk a little bit about that journal?
Yes, let's talk about it.
I've seen it and I love it. So I'm just wondering if there's a way that the listeners can somehow get their hands on that.
Yes. So, Mac, I think you're talking about the intention planner, and it's a planner it's a planner that helps you to really identify and to follow through on the things that are the most important to you, the things that are the most mission critical for you personally and professionally. It walks you through this daily process that I talked about earlier in terms of setting your intention, identifying your key tasks that you're going to focus on, and then actually holding yourself accountable for following through on those things. It actually provides pre-work to help you think at a larger scale about those questions I talked about in terms of your larger life mission and vision. So there are examples that I share from my own personal life. I give you the questions and the framework to identify those for your life. And then I show you how to break it down into 90-day increments so that you can take those big lofty goals or the vision or the intentions, break those down into smaller time-bound activities that are actually more doable that people can wrap their heads around. And I created this because there wasn't anything else that I found out there that was helping people to do this in a mindful and an intentional way. So I originally created this for myself and was having an interview similar to this one and was talking about my morning routine and was sharing about the journal that I had printed. I printed one copy just for me. And the host asked me, so like, when is this going to be available for folks? And so that was really the start of this becoming a tool for the masses. And so for folks that are interested in that, you can go to my website, mindfultechie.com, click on the store link or the planner link, and you'll be able to learn more about it and to purchase your own copy.
That's great. Well, I guess it would kind of defeat the purpose if you created a mobile app for that, right?
Yeah, so that's a question that comes up a lot. And so that is not something that I think makes sense right now in terms of the intention for how this is to be used. That there really is there is power in taking time to focus in a disconnected way on setting the course for your day and for your life. And, you know, right now I haven't found a way that technology is able to facilitate in a way that's not distracting. So right now it's a paper, high quality spiral bound planner. But I encourage you to give it a try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's anytime I have tech in my hands, even though it makes more sense to dictate whatever, I end up just getting drawn away from it. So I agree with the using paper and pen. I mean, that sometimes is the basic way to go and in the best way. Mm-hmm. Well, Miko, we've really enjoyed having you on the show. I've had several guests that talked about mindfulness, but none that have really put it into a way where it's practical and tangible. And I think this is going to be really useful for people. So how can my audience get a hold of you and maybe set up time to be coached by you or have you come in and speak to their organization?
Yeah, so there are two ways. The first is you can go to my website, mindfultechie.com, and you can join the email list. So that's one of the first things I recommend to folks. The second is you can follow me on social media. So I am on most of the platforms at A Mindful Techie. So you can find me on most of the platforms at A Mindful Techie. And then of course I'm on LinkedIn. So you can look me up, Miko Whitlock, or you can look for Mindful Techie. I'm on LinkedIn, and that's also a great way to connect with me, particularly if you're interested in training for your organization.
Excellent. Yes. So definitely reach out on those platforms. Miko, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us today and give us, I think, some very important and also very practical knowledge on being able to create balance in this really, really stressful world that we all live in. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me. I've had a great time.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.